This is RSV and the Update, episode 279, recorded Friday, October 22nd, 2010. A cow in distress. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of RSV and the Update that we hope will be enlightening and provide some happy thoughts to a few of you out there. So, the achy Chief Snake is here this week.
Thank you. I think it's good to be back.
Well, you said you were achy, so
a little bit.
I figured that would be acceptable. Also, Schwa, Josh from Events Crew is here.
Hello,
Schwa.
So he's gonna be joining us in this, and we will be discussing some sound updates this week. What we decided to do, since it's not in the spirit of Halloween yet, Halloween, as you guys know, is next weekend, October 31st. We are going to discuss the Halloween update on next week's show because it just makes more sense being closer to Halloween. So we're not going to talk about the Halloween update this week. That's going to be next week because, as I said, it's not Halloween yet, and Jagex has said that we're done with updates for October, so there's the logic in that. So this week's little update was little sound effect updates for combat-based things. So, first impressions?
Time to open RuneScape.
Oh, I got samples here. Schwa,
oh, that's good.
Do you have any first impressions?
When I first read it, I was kind of skeptical of it, and I went and tried them out, and maybe I just haven't gotten into them enough, but I'm so far unimpressed.
Oh, okay.
I've never ever really liked RuneScape sound effects, and then these ones with like the voices and stuff they said they've been using, they just sound really fake and soundboarded.
I don't think this sounds fake.
It seems like they have like four or five per whatever. And
what was that supposed to be?
It's a cow.
Oh, cow. The rest of them sound like cows.
It doesn't sound like a cow to you?
It sounds kind of like a cow.
But what were you saying? Shane, stop interrupting.
I was saying, like, when I was fighting, like, guards and stuff, it seemed like they had... You done? Nope. Okay. No, but it sounded like four or five different, like, little, you know, shouts or whatever, and then they would just randomly go from all of them, and I don't know, it just didn't seem like it fit in with everything.
I got a sound sample here of the guard one.
Yeah, see, for me, I mean, that's too much squealing. Not squealing, screaming. It's the same thing. I'm just about to go find
that was the death sound at the end there.
See what happens as well.
So, other ones that we've done include the... Go ahead.
Oh, I did actually test this on woodcutting. I didn't totally skip this update. I've been a semi-good
boy.
But and I was impressed by that compared to what it was before. I mean, it is a bit of a but
I think woodcutting sounded fairly real.
The combat sounds I'm not sure of yet. It may take some getting used to. I'm just attacking guards as we speak.
Yeah, the only one I didn't get around to testing.
Shaw's right. It seems very fake and delayed.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say that, but...
I think, yeah, it probably seems fake because it's delayed. But, yeah, I don't know. And, yeah, too much screaming. I don't know if I could take that every time I fought a guard. Oh, well.
Yeah, that's...
Some other monsters. Oh, go ahead. ahead.
And I'm also wondering what we're going to see for other monsters when this eventually comes ported over, you know? So, that'll be something to see. But Chief should recognize this one. Now, Brad and Josh, what sound effect was that? Yes, that's right.
Was that a bird?
So, yeah, there was a few birds in the background.
The real birds?
That was little birds, yeah, that are real. Yeah, points if you remember what we're talking about there, but... Mm-hmm. I figured we'd play that one because, you know, sheep are very common in New Zealand, apparently, right?
Very observant there, Shane.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Didn't you almost run one over today when you were coming home?
I'm done killing guards. What? They don't,
just had to
cross our roads or anything.
Not even in the farmland areas? Okay.
I wasn't that far out. It's far out, but not
okay.
Yet. It would have been about another 100 meters. You know.
Okay.
Still.
And one more, the chicken.
That's quite a good one.
Yeah, that sounds like chickens.
More realistic. No.
You know what? I'm wondering how they made these sounds. Did they go to a farm and record animals, or... I don't know.
I can just see, someone with, the recording boom mic, over a cow waiting for it to moo. Just standing there.
This one, I wonder if they, that was when you attack a cow. So I wonder if that's the sound you actually make when you go up and, kick a cow, you know, or something. I don't know. Is it, Schwa? You said, mm-hmm. So does that mean yes?
Well, I was just acknowledging I've never actually kicked any cows.
Okay.
So do you think that they're promoting animal abuse?
I mean, on the other
probably
hand...
Probably not.
If you actually did kick a cow, I think it would get pretty angry. Not like cows in RuneScape. They just headbutt you and stuff. I think you would actually be charged and probably...
Very severely hurt.
Yes.
So, I don't know. That was this update, of course, was from Mod Bond and the audio team, and as you guys probably remember, the audio team is one of the smallest teams in RuneScape, so congratulations to them for making this update, because it's kind of hard to do sound effects, I find, because you can never, as we were saying, especially with the... human guard ones, they do sound kind of fake and not timed properly, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So are we done with this update?
Yeah.
I think so.
What were you going to say, Schwa? You usually...
Oh, I usually never play with sound on because I usually have music playing or the TV on, so I never... It's been like years since I've actually even had the sound on in RuneScape.
Yeah, I think everybody should turn the sound on once in a while, because it actually sounds a lot better than it used to. So.
Mm. Well, I don't know about regular sound. I mean, I would never, ever play the music. That's just a no-no.
No, no, no.
But I need to have some sort of sound just in order to make sure that... kind of to keep an eye on what I'm doing, because I'm not always the most focused of people, and I need that.
When the river troll killed you? You obviously weren't using sound back then.
No, well, that was partially... Oh, no, wait, it wasn't RuneScape Classic. I can't use that as an excuse. Never mind. No, oh, no,
alrighty.
I don't think... that wasn't the sound's fault. That was simply the fact that I only had 14 HP and it had a 14 on me.
Okay, then. So next up is a little report of zombie activity at Clan Wars. This is another one of their... in-game kind of community events. Basically, there's going to be, starting on the 25th, a bunch of zombifications in the free-to-play Clan Wars arena, and if you see a Jagex mod that's infected, you are to kill them or help them. It's up to you, but they encourage you to kill them. So, of course, this is in the spirit of Halloween, and they got something called the Alpha Base Program. So, it's basically a zombie kind of reporting incident thing. And, you know, it kind of is like Left 4 Dead, I guess. That's what it
That's
kind of reminded
funny.
Me of watching their cinematic. So, the Alpha Bases will take place on Monday, October 25th at 001 BST on World 30. Thursday on the 28th at 11 a.m. BST, and Sunday the 31st, of course, Halloween, at 8 p.m. BST. So, the strange events have been occurring throughout the week in the free-to-play Clan Wars arena, centered around the skeletal ruins to the northwest. If you'd like to come help investigating these claims, as well as hear new announcements, then we are recommending joining one of these PMod-run clan chats, and they have a list of the names of the clan chats. And they end off the message with saying, "Our survival is in your hands." And the currently infected mods are Mod Crow, Mod Shiles, Mod Ash, Mod Raven, Mod Chihiro, and Mod Kathy. Mod Kathy has been resurrected as the undead. So... Zombies, once again, playing a major role in current events.
At least it's not vampires.
We already have vampires in the Eastern lands, don't we?
Oh, sure. Damn it.
I'm going to play a bit of this video here that they are using to promote this, and you guys can comment on it after that.
The threat level was raised to critical yesterday, which is the highest measure possible in the United Kingdom. The heightened threat level is due to the sheer severity of the events and the ensuing spread of violence. The infected possess an inhuman speed and strength, and seemingly appear to feel no pain. Surviving citizens are encouraged to abandon their homes and workplaces and make their way to Alpha Base immediately. We advise that you avoid major transportation links as they have been constricted with crippling traffic volumes, and the high density of citizens can make them attractive targets for those currently infected. The military has warned citizens to exercise extreme caution at all times during this heightened threat level. We regret to inform you that the chance of survival for those of you unable to reach Alpha Base is extremely low.
Celebrate Halloween with the RuneScape Zombie Invasion, 23rd to 31st of October.
Interesting thing to celebrate with. I wonder how they got all of those sound effects and things to make that video, because if those are the kind of things that we can expect from Jagex, then it would be very interesting to see that in-game.
Yeah, that'd be good. But since it's a video on YouTube, I'd wager that what we're going to see for sound effects is going to be different, because, you know, there are tons of stock places you can go to get sound effects online for these kind of things. So, but
really,
you never know. They could have made them all, but I don't know. I know Chief and I were talking before we began, and we both agreed that this was a pretty good production on Jagex's part in terms of kind of linking something to RuneScape and the real world that they haven't really done before, and it was produced well as well. So,
mm-hmm. Were we talking about that? Okay, well,
yeah, we
okay.
were. We were when you were playing with your dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The first time that I heard that, I didn't even think that it was for RuneScape. I didn't know why you were playing it. I thought I was just like, oh, is this some kind of new movie or game? And I was like, then talked about Jags, and I was really surprised.
That's the same thing as some of the other things that have come out recently from them. Like, for instance, I forget what it was, but do you remember that last video they came out with? It could have been an actual commercial for the game, come to think of it, because it just appeared to be kind of more, look like something you'd see on TV. This did too, so.
Oh, the last RuneScape. one they did for YouTube. I was actually looking at that not long ago, just the other day. I rewatched it and I thought, wow, this is terrible. But it was only because I can see, I can see where you're coming from. I actually can see it as an ad on TV or something. But it's, I mean, compared to one of the other ones they've just done for Stellar Dawn, it looks horrible. The new Stellar Dawn one looks a lot more professional. But that, I don't know. That
oh, that's the one we were talking about. We weren't talking about the last RuneScape one.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Stellar Dawn one we were talking about. That's right.
Yeah.
But anyway,
we'll
so...
We'll talk more on that later, I suppose.
We will?
I think we will, yeah, won't we?
I don't know. Anyways,
okay.
So if you're into those kind of things or you want to go kill some J-Mods, you can rewatch this video and see when this event's going to take place. But we're done with RuneScape updates, as we said, because we're doing Halloween next week. So unless anybody else has anything they want to quickly mention before we move on?
Nope, no, I'm good.
Okay. So we got 5 audio questions this week. Thank you, everybody, for that. So with that being said, we're going to play our first audio question. Oops, I almost clicked play on the cow that was dying. Here we go.
Hello, guys. What is up? It is Epic Rain once more. I'd like to start off by thanking you for the advice you gave me last week concerning my Flash player. I have since switched over to Chrome, and everything works perfectly now. My question is, if you were kicked out of your home country for some reason or another, where would you go to? I've gathered that Shane is from Canada and Snake from New Zealand, correct me if I'm wrong. I am personally from America and would go to England, Ireland, or Canada. Oh, Canada, do-do-do-do-do-do, and stuff. Thanks, and bye.
Well, we should let Schwa go first on this thing, but yes, you're right on both counts. I'm from Canada, and Chief here is from New Zealand, so Schwa, where would you abdicate to if you needed to?
Well, I hate to approach this from, like, practicality, but if I was, like, kicked out of my country, I wouldn't want to go very far, because if you went to, like, England or something, it's such just a huge hassle, because I don't know if you'd have to take all your stuff with you, but it'd be pretty expensive. I'd probably just go to Canada. It's a pretty nice place. And I wouldn't be that far, so that I could always just come back.
But Canada is cold.
Well, no, it's not.
I suppose it's pretty cold. Yeah. Never mind then.
Yeah, it's 7 degrees here right now.
It's cold.
7 degrees?
No.
It's like 19 Celsius here at the moment.
So.
One day then.
Okay. Chief.
Well, actually, from a practicality standpoint, because I would have been inclined just to say Canada, because Canada is a nice place from what I've heard, and Shane is, like, forcing me to go there if ever anything happens to New Zealand, so we've already got that agreement. But, I mean, if I was in a position where I actually had to do that, then I think Australia would be a more logical choice, to be honest, because Australia is close, obviously. It's very cheap to move to. There are a lot of advantages to it. And it's never cold! Oh my god.
That's too bad. What about one of those little French-controlled islands somewhere, like those small islands?
Yeah, but I mean, they're small. I wouldn't really feel that comfortable. Although, I mean, it'd be cool going on holiday there, etc., just because I'm a Frenchie. But, no, it wouldn't be as comfortable as somewhere like Australia. Although, yeah, I don't know. Australia would just feel weird because it's not... Yeah, it's Australia. But from a practicality standpoint, yeah, Australia. Otherwise, Canada.
Okay. For me, you know, it's hard to say that, but practicality, I would not choose the U.S.,
thanks.
From a practical... Well, yeah, I wouldn't. I know, thank you, but...
I would never choose the US, but that's just me. Also, because it is, like, far, far away, and it wouldn't really be feasible, but...
That's the reason.
So I am just, I'm just being biased, actually.
I don't like the atmosphere of the U.S., but I'd have to choose one of the British Commonwealth nations, so either England itself or Australia or New Zealand. So, one of those
two. You
don't
actually live in Australia, do you?
Well, if you get outcast, and I do too, we could be outcast together there.
We're going to do something really bad one day on this podcast and get thrown out of our countries, respectively.
Yeah, well, the good thing is, so far, Skype is encrypted, but that could also be a bad thing, too. I don't know, but... So, anything we're hearing, we're talking right now, is encrypted, so feel free to say anything you want to say. Schwa?
Let me tell you about why I hate my government. No, just kidding.
So you actually can do that, because you have freedom of speech.
True.
Yeah, you do, you do.
Well, not to a certain extent. Bush. Then you're going to get tackled with CIA.
Why? There's nothing wrong with him. I don't see why people think there is something wrong with him.
No, I'm just talking more about just the Patriot Act.
Oh, I think that's a good act. I like that act.
Moving on.
Yes. The next audio question is from Earth.
Hello, everyone. This week, I have a serious question. No, it's crazy, man. Alright, what do you think about people not wanting other people to build something just because they are not their religion, race, whatever? Basically, just discrimination in general. Near where I live, there has been this mosque that people have been trying to build. Links and email. And people have just been so against it, and it's ridiculous. So, what do you guys think? Put some links in the notes for you so you can see it. Love, Earth.
So the mosque Earth here is talking about, I believe, is the Ground Zero Mosque.
In inverted commas.
Or no? Let's see. Which one is he talking about?
Well, yeah, it will be that. I mean, or if not, then yeah, you can obviously see it relates to that. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was one also in. Okay, see, I didn't read your links you sent, Earth. So I just assumed it was a Ground Zero mosque. But now I got your links here, and it's about a mosque in Tennessee. So I know, but it's the same thing whether you're in New York or Tennessee. So let's start, Brad.
There's even less reason in Tennessee, though. Well. I assume. I haven't read the links either, but I think this is ridiculous, personally. I mean, America, which should honor personal liberties and everything like that, America, which proudly flaunts the fact that, you know, freedom is the ultimate human right, and they will respect that at any cost, and yet somehow this has come up. I just can't believe that. And also the fact that they are calling it Ground Zero is grossly out of being blown out of proportion, in my opinion. The mosque is not actually that close to where the event occurred and stuff like that. It's just unfathomable, in my opinion. I can't believe that it is a problem. It's not like it's...
Before we... Go.
Yeah. It's okay. Not even like it's a big deal. It's just a mosque. Plus, it has no relation to Al-Qaeda or anything like that necessarily. Yeah, that's about it, really. I mean, I'm sure you guys would be able to reiterate the same kind of things, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree that, our whole country here talks about how, we're a very diverse nation. We have all this tolerance for any cultures, any religions, except one. They can't be.
Yeah.
I think that's really it's very counterproductive that they're okay with anyone as long as they're not you know, from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Except Israel. So I think that, you know, if, you know, it's close to Ground Zero or if it's far away, we shouldn't, you know, discriminate against anyone for wanting to build something. The one that was, you know, quote unquote close to Ground Zero was a community center and stuff as well. It's not like, you know, that we're making a bomb factory. You know. Like it was actually something that was improving things. And I don't think that, you know, that should be frowned upon.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree as well on this, because it makes logical sense and all. But there is one other thing that most people forget to mention, is that there was indeed one of these mosques in the World Trade Center in one of the towers. I forget which floor it was.
Really?
There was one there. So,
interesting. Thanks.
Yeah, let's try and get some facts straight first before going on into those kind of things. So,
yeah.
And, you know, same thing. I know Earth wasn't directly referring to Ground Zero, but the same thing applies whether you're in Tennessee or Ground Zero. So, I think we're done on this one, unless either of
I had something else.
You have anything else?
I can't really remember. That's basically it. Oh, forgotten again. Oh, shocking.
We should have gotten somebody from the Fox News channel or one of the Fox News supporters on this show.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I was just going to say, I can understand kind of where people would be coming from with this. The people who think that it's wrong simply because it is, you know, at Ground Zero. But it shouldn't be a problem. They should be able to realize that that it is not directly linked to the people who did it in any way. And just because it makes them angry or reminds them maybe of that, they should be able to overcome that, because it's a bit frustrating, really. So I can see where they're coming from, but
very...
I don't think it's a valid argument.
You do if sound very enlightened. Sense.
Well, it's funny because I don't actually know much about it at all. It's just the fundamental aspects I think should remain the same.
You summed it up pretty good there. So, there are also lots of Christian religious fanatics in the U.S. as well, and I think anybody who has a decent head on them will hopefully see it this way, you know. But, anyways, thank you, Earth. We're gonna move on now. Next one is from Merciful, who you guys all should remember at the end of August.
Hello, Sharon and Chief Snake.
It's your RuneFest correspondents, Merciful and Susie Angel, here.
We've been spending the last few days almost glued to our phones, often until stupid o'clock in the morning, playing Angry Birds.
It finally came out free, but ad-supported, on the Android market last Friday. What do you think about the iPhone losing a lot of its exclusivity with regards to the App Store in recent months, and do you think that this trend will continue?
Also, Shane, are you actually Steve Carell? Because I think you sound quite a bit like him.
Okay, Schwa, was that cough supposed to mean anything?
No, I just have had a cough.
Okay.
I'm
it's
sure.
It's not about your hatred of Steve Carell.
So first off, everybody should go out and get Angry Birds for whatever platform you're on. It's a good game. I, yesterday, spent $2 on a Halloween version of Angry Birds. So,
obsessed.
I'm almost done the main version, so I figured I'd get myself a Halloween one as well. So, anyways, iPhone exclusivity slipping away to other phones, I don't see that as much of a problem, really, because it's the same thing as developing any other piece of software. The developer has their code base for iPhone, and once you have a program or application in general, program for a certain language, it's normally, if you know what you're doing, it's not too hard to port it to something else, unless you're doing things that are really, really relying on that operating system, and if the other operating system you're moving to doesn't have the ability to do the same thing easily. So I don't think it's much of a problem. I think that people are going to develop still for the iPhone and iOS stuff first, because it just has the most market out there, at least for now it does. So
yeah,
I really don't see it as much of a problem.
I guess I feel the same way, but I don't have much to say. Schwa.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, I'm going to agree here that, yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of a good thing that, you know, more than one, you know, operating system can handle it. I mean, the same question could be raised about, like, Steam when it went to be able to go to Macs. You might say that, hey, you know, it wasn't a bad thing for, you know, Windows, but I don't think it was at all.
It was a good thing for OS X in general, the OS it was going to. We got faster graphics on OS X because of that.
That's true. I mean, it increases competition. It's all good, really.
Yeah, it does. You know, because people for longest time had thought Macs can't game. But I guess the same thing is also true for this. By default, people are going to assume that these little games that you see are touch-based and use the accelerometers and whatnot are all going to be, are all just iPhone-centric, but the other platforms can do that as well. So it's really just, I think, now a matter of choosing where you belong, you know? Like, if you're a geek and you like tinkering with things, you should probably get Android, but if you like just having things work, you should probably go with iOS. So, I don't know. Personally, for me, I would start developing anything that I would do for iOS first, because you got to remember that iOS is iPhones, iPods, and iPads. So then move out if there's enough demand. So I like that question. Anything else?
No.
Sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
Next one's from Gnome Thorian.
Dear Shane, Chief Snake, King Kula, and Schwa, Gnome Thorin here as always, and I have a question this week. Do you think that buying a God Sword is a good investment? And, because, I mean, I've recently been watching God Sword prices, and Bandos has dropped quite a bit, and, Zamorak is under 20 mil, Ceridomen is under 50 mil, and, well, Armadale's under 70 mil. But the thing that surprised me the most is that a Fury is now worth more than the Bandos Godsword. Is that right? Should there be something done to change that? And I had a feeling that Jagex said they were going to implement something into the game that would keep prices from fluctuating so much. Thanks for taking my questions. Gnome Thorian. Bye.
Okay. So I guess the main question there is, should there be something done to control prices further? How do you guys just jump right in on that?
No, I don't think so, personally.
Yeah, I don't think they should do any more. I think that it's already kind of ridiculous already.
Yeah.
I think that they should kind of lay low on that for a while.
Yeah. I have to agree there. Nothing else should be done. Nothing else needs to be done. One could argue, in fact, that the problem we're seeing right now with this is due to the way the Grand Exchange behaves and the little caps on it. I personally think if the caps were removed, we'd see a much more representative view of what the actual market demand and supply were like of a certain item. So, as always, the answer is going to be less control rather than more, because you just add more control in either one and you inadvertently create shortages or surpluses based on what you do. So
maybe,
I don't know.
I think it would be really very scary to entertain the notion of of actually removing the caps, though, because that could introduce a lot of
rapid spikes.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It would just be a much more volatile market. For sure.
Yeah, it would, but that's the way a real market is.
And I think initially,
it's kind of.
I was about to say, initially, I think that prices would fluctuate a lot, but I think in the long run, they would eventually even out to a more representative one. But I can see in the short term, it would absolutely ravage the market.
Yeah, you're bang on there, Schwa. That's pretty much what would happen there. Because if you think about it, why do prices change? Why do prices change?
Oh,
why do prices change? That's a question.
Just the it's not a rhetorical question. Supply and demand, like, you know, who is selling the item and who, how many people want to buy it, you know.
And then it would adjust, and over time I think it would be a good thing. But, you know, Jagex had to put this in to prevent people from say, oh, I'll sell you this part he had for 2GP, but wouldn't I think that there's, if people knew that this kind of thing was going to happen, I think we'd definitely see people just for fun say put in an offer for a party hat of 2GP, and whoever gets theirs in first would get that party hat, you know. So I really don't think there'd be much of a problem with it. But I'm gonna look at selling my Fury after we're done recording the show. Thank you for that advice, Nomthorian. Do you guys have Fury amulets?
You need a Fury. Actually, that was the only other thing. It is quite funny that a Fury is more expensive than a Godsword, I will say that much. I don't think the Fury should ever have spiked anywhere near 18 mil or whatever it is.
No.
It should have stayed around 4. That was a decent price for it. But
yeah,
I still want to be selling
mine. I think that's what the price used to be in Fire Runes. If you would take Fire Runes to the Tazar place and exchange them for Tokel and then exchange that for the Onyx Gem. I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so, that's what it was. I remember reading about that.
But that kind of got nerfed after that because you weren't able to sell them back and get the same amount of money in their shop change. So.
Oh, okay.
As to why the Fury is so high, it could be a long-range effect after that little thing we just talked about, removing that from the game, but that was a pretty long time ago, so I don't exactly know what would have caused the spike. It could have been caused by the fact the Fury Ornamental Kit is 3.1 mil, and that was, it wouldn't, because those were released in the summer, and it was already 15, 14 mil by the summer, so no, that wouldn't have caused it. Okay.
I mean, they've been going up at least since the 25th of April. Just looking at the long graph for the Grand Exchange, it's just been an upwards, you know.
Yeah, this is a really cute graph. Look at the Fury Ornament graph. It's a nice little quadratic. So, anyways, less controls, not more. Thank you, Nomthorian. Our last audio question is from Asa.
Dear Schwa, King Kulla, Shane, and Brad Version 2, I have one question this week. How often do you guys get sick, and what are your normal symptoms? I am sick currently this week, and hence the nasally voice and weirdness in general. But what kind of things do you guys have? Fever, intestinal problems, what? I also usually get sick maybe once or twice a year, but I wonder what you guys' experience is with sickness in general. Thanks for the great show, ExileQ/BrimK/Asa.
Intestinal problems. Such an elegant way of putting it. So, when you get sick, what happens? Start with Schwa.
I usually get a cold every, you know, year or so. But, you know, I actually have a nail biting problem, and I think that actually prevents me from getting a lot sicker. for some odd reason. I feel like
how?
Looking it up right now, but I feel like you're more exposed to like the germs and stuff like that, and maybe even like the dead virus,
necessarily
cells, but like you are more exposed to it. Same thing with like getting a vaccine, except just a very different way of going about
it. Yeah, that's kind of fair enough. I see what you mean.
You know, I always thought you sounded like a person who'd bite their nails.
Short Shane.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay.
Your
symptoms, though?
Oh.
Symptoms, coughing. I'm actually starting to come down with a cough right now. Stuffy nose. You know. Just general cold system fatigue, stuff like that. But it's been a while since I've been like really deathly ill. It's been a long time for that, and I'm really not sure why.
It's coming.
Yeah, it'll come within the next couple of years. You'll hear me from my deathbed. But yeah, I usually just get a cold every year. Never really anything worse.
Mr. Brad.
Yep. I'm sort of the same. I mean, except I'm more prone to colds. I'm odd. I must have a very weak immune system. But it's funny, though, because I get colds, two or three or something a year. Or then, I don't know. I haven't been that sick this year. But, it's just, normally it's not really that much, just enough to make me feel groggy and just enough not to want to go to school, you know. Fair enough. But apart from that, no, I haven't actually been sick in a long, long time, as far as I can remember. I don't remember the last time I, like, vomited or anything.
Yeah, neither do I, actually. I think that comes with age, too, because as you get older, you're not putting your fingers in your mouth as much and picking up bacteria and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Because how you make your throw. Oh, that's so sad.
What? Yeah.
Putting your fingers
in your
mouth.
I didn't get that.
I just interpreted that as making yourself throw up by...
Yeah, that's what I interpreted.
No! No! No!
I did that to get out of school once.
No. You have a problem. It's not okay. But it is okay to
did
ask.
Did you hear what... I don't have a... No, I didn't... It wasn't... I was referring to the actual through.
I know.
But
I understand.
I think Schwa is the one that needs help.
I need help.
I think Schwa is fine.
Well, he said he did that to get out of school once.
Well, back in high school once. And then there was one time that I faked throwing up. I got a whole bunch of saltine crackers and put them in my mouth and chewed them up real good and waited for my mom to walk by the bathroom. And so then I acted like I threw up those to get out of school one day. That was my most...
elaborate?
Elaborate attempt getting out of school. And it worked. I was happy.
Oh, God.
Let's not use these ideas because it's a bad thing to do.
No, we don't condone it or anything.
Yeah, not promoting skipping school.
But... All right. Me mainly the same for that. Once or twice a year. Haven't been really, really sick since, I don't know. Yeah, I can't remember when, but 2007 was probably the last really bad one, I think. Yeah. Anyways, thank you, Asa.
Another thing that comes with my colds, I always get bleeding noses, which is just, because I blow my nose too much. But always, always without fail. It's rather frustrating. But that's me.
Okay. Alrighty, Schwa, you can read the next question.
All right. Let's see. Dear Chief Snake, King Kula, Shane, and Schwa, I swear I did not put your names in alphabetical order, or I put your names in alphabetical order, not in terms of coolness. Do you prefer games that exercise your physical self, such as football, basketball, etc., or do you prefer games that exercise your mental self, just as chess or checkers? Thanks for keeping my ears company, and keep up the awesome show, Reganeth. That's how I pronounce it. I like a good mix of both. Like, I like playing football every, you know, now and again, and basketball and all those. And then, you know, just when I want, you know, to be mellow and stuff, I'll play, you know, something like checkers or chess or other games.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you can choose just one. It's too difficult. Even I, a nerd, a proud, staunch nerd, like a good game of football once in a while. So there.
Okay.
What about you, Shane? Well, what do you like to play?
Well, I guess... I guess if you put it that way, but not the stereotypical sports, I guess. I don't know. Does a good game of, like, badminton or something count?
No. Well, yeah, I suppose it does. Yeah, because it's still being active.
Okay.
I like badminton. Badminton's fun. Plus, it does take a lot of running around, actually. You have to be fit for badminton. It's sad.
But, I don't know. Overall, I think I prefer the mental stuff. Because it's just more rewarding to me, I think.
You don't get endorphins from physical activity?
No, not really. Not really, no.
Because that's always rewarding.
It totally feels good to score a touchdown. Always.
That sport's too violent. I think.
They're actually trying to make it less violent, though. Did you know that?
No idea.
Yeah, I guess the National Football League is starting to, like, fine players for, like, overly aggressive hits and stuff. That's what I hear. So, like, they're going to start fining players if they go too rough on them. So I think that's kind of a... I don't know. I don't like it. I think it's violent enough. It's not as violent as rugby. So.
Yeah, I actually, despite the fact that rugby is like our national thing, I completely... Are you okay, Shane?
I accidentally pressed the hang up button.
Oh.
I was trying to move the... I just pressed the hang up button by accident.
Shay did not like where the conversation was going.
I thought he would have liked
that. Yeah, anyway. So. Yeah, we're back now. We're going to end this discussion on violence shortly after Chief finishes.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Despite having rugby as our national game, national sport, stuff like that, I actually completely disagree with the game. I don't think it's a good thing to be engaging in, to be teaching our young people, etc. Because it's very violent. And if you've ever seen our rugby players perform the haka, then look up the words to that in English, the English translation. And it is actually quite revolting. They only still do it because it's respecting the Maori culture. But it's total trash. It's ridiculous. Anyway. Little rant there.
Okay. Thank you, Regnanth. Dear Shane, Chief, and Schwa. First time question asker here. I was just wondering how many pillows you guys use when you sleep. I use several because I like to keep my head propped up. Also, what skills should I start working on? My username is Sir Sphinx Zed. Thank you for all the hours of entertainment this podcast has provided from Sphinx. So, pillow count?
Pillow count. One.
I use two. I have one that's, like, really, really firm pillow, and then I have one that's, like, a really super soft one. It's really... It's hard to imagine, but, like, it's really comfortable, but at the same time, it's, like, really supporting and stuff like that. And I always just, like, fall right to sleep on it.
Well, that's good.
And so, that's what I use.
Chief?
Well, one, Yeah, generally one. I have three pillows, but I only sleep with one. Yep, prop myself up with three. But then I slept with two last night, but only one for my head, and then one supporting the rest of my body because I was sleeping on the floor. It wasn't particularly comfortable. Shane?
All right. Three. Two for the main support, and then on two, kind of. Well, one and a half, I guess. Yeah, one and a half. Okay. But they're actually two. So, but it's actually one and a half that my head is actually on. So, and then the third one kind of prevents the other two from falling through this crevice and then onto the floor.
Okay.
So, yeah. It is a complex setup.
You never thought pillows would be the most complex setup on Earth.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
screw networking.
A loss for words about how pillows are set up.
That's funny what you say, screw networking. Anyways, Sir Sphinx Zed. What should he train? He has 99 construction, 99 thieving, 99 fire making, 99 wood cutting.
Herblore.
Okay, Herblore is at level 62. That's a good choice. Farming is at level 99. Oh, I forgot to mention that one. And Schwa, you just got quieter for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah, I'm going to go with Herblore as well. You could maybe raise some of your other skills, like ranged at 64.
Well, he does have nice enough
Herblore and agility. Yeah. Go for Herblore or agility, because I'm a skilling type of person, so I'm going to say those two. Mm-hmm. Chief?
Yeah, some interesting skills. Yeah, Herblore agility, actually. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm sad. Yeah. But yes, Herblore agility. Or runecrafting.
Okay.
I don't know. There's a variety of things, really.
I don't want to do any runecrafting. No. I don't know if he does either.
It on occasion.
I don't know. I just. Oh, okay.
You take one day to do it, and after that one day, you don't ever want to do it again.
Yeah, that's how it goes, isn't it? So.
Yeah, pretty much. I wonder what he does to make money.
You could also do Slayer. I don't know.
Yeah, that's important.
I want to know where he gets the money for this. Like, 99 construction isn't cheap. He doesn't have a lot of other, like, you know, like something obvious like runecrafting or Slayer. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. And farming, too.
Yeah.
Well, thieving.
So, Sir Sphinx.
But not that much.
What are you doing?
Well, you know, you don't have to have good skills to make money these days.
It helps.
Generally, you have to have money to make good skills.
Well, you can. So. You just have to work the grand exchange.
Yeah.
Flip items and whatnot. So, anyways, there's your recommendations. The next question, Chief.
I've been listening for quite a while now and have finally decided to ask a question. I have farmed on and off, really going for 3 or 4 days at a time, and hoping to start keeping a daily schedule. For my herb runs, I need super compost. I've been raking the non-herb patches each run and depositing the weeds into the compost bin. This would normally make me normal compost, but I then use a dose of compost potion, which is 4.9k for 4 doses, on the bin. This turns all 15 composts into super composts. I think it's a good way to get super compost because I get 60 super compost per 4.9k, and I don't have to do much extra. GE price for 60 super compost is 58.8k. Price for 60 super compost with my method is 4.9k. Can you guys suggest anything better or easier to do than what I'm doing at the moment? That is from Dothel. I think it sounds good. But
where do you even get those potions? I thought they were quest only.
Well, you can get them from Vinesweeper. That's basically But the fact is, I tried it a while ago, or ages ago, actually, when I sort of first started farming, because I thought it might be an okay method of doing it. But I never, ever got any compost potions from the GE. They never bought. So if they do buy, then sure, that sounds like a pretty good way. Because, I mean, it's no extra effort just raking your weeds.
But the weeds don't come back anymore.
Oh, that's true. Well, maybe. I mean, I use pineapples, and that's just because I farm pineapple plants, so it's no big deal for me, and they just get me instant super compost. So, but no, super compost potions, sure, if you can get them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea. I use the pineapples as well, because I have lots from when I did my farming runs like that. But if you don't have, and you don't want to do the vine sweeper to get the compost potions, you can get, after you do your Karamja diary, you can get the pineapples from Del Monte on the island. So that's another way to do it.
You can also get pineapples. You can buy them from the guy named Ahin, the general store guy in Catherby.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can buy 40 a day.
Two.
And I should mention I got this method.
You can also use...
I stole it.
The fruit bat.
Oh, yeah, you can, I suppose, but it's a bit of a waste of time.
Which method did you get from me?
The pineapples. I used to buy my super compost all off the Grand Exchange, just because I couldn't be bothered doing anything else with it, but I realized it's no big deal with pineapples. And you save a lot.
Yeah, see, this is what farming people talk about. We talk about the best way to make super compost.
Oh, yeah. We're cool. Don't judge me.
Alrighty. Thank you. Thank you, Dothel. Last question, Schwa.
Alright. Hey, guys. My question this week is Minecraft. Do you plan on buying it? Do you own it? Have watched YouTube videos about it? I want to hear everything you have to say about this devilishly addicting game. Also, I have continued farming and managed to make 2 mil in Toadflax and Marigold over the weekend. Farming is definitely pure awesome. As always, Dark Abyss. Minecraft.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because marigolds can now be used as the flowers for that summoning thing, I believe.
Blend? So,
what were you going to say? Yeah, that's right. What were you going to say, Schwab, about Minecraft?
All I have to say about Minecraft is yes. It's... I don't know. I really like the game. My roommates and I all recently bought it, and we've been pretty much having a competition over this past week.
Really?
That we're all like, hey, come check out the cool stuff that we did in Minecraft. It's like, look at this huge castle, or look at this really deep mine I dug, and stuff like that. It's really simple. It's just really addicting. I've heard said that if you ever played with Legos, then you're going to love Minecraft. And... I don't know. They're doing a whole bunch of updates in a couple of weeks, and I think it's just a really nice game, whether you're playing it with multiplayer or just by yourself. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
I personally don't see the appeal in it, partly because of the way it looks, you know? There was something way back when, in 2001, in the game Tribes 2 called the Construction Mod. People used to build extravagant stuff with that. Granted, the Minecraft stuff can be more in-depth, but, you know, it doesn't really look that great. So I'm really not a fan of the Minecraft. And yes, I've seen the video that one you sent me, Chief. What was that, the calculator?
The ALU, wasn't it?
Right, that's it. Mm-hmm. Arithmetic and Logic Unit, for anybody who doesn't know what an ALU is. So that was a good one. I also saw the Enterprise D1. Which was good because it was actually scale. So I don't know, Chief.
I can't actually say that I know much about what Minecraft is, to be honest. But I have seen the videos, like the one I sent Shane. Yeah, I've seen a couple more. It seems an interesting concept, and if they improve the graphics, I think it could become very popular. But and by improve the graphics, I mean massively, massively improve them. But yeah. Otherwise, yeah, it looks fairly awesome.
It's...
I'm not sure it would be something I would be interested in, but it does look cool nonetheless. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
I don't have that much time to waste, to be honest.
Alrighty. Yeah. Thank you, Dark Abyss. More on Minecraft later. Right now, though, we're going to move on to tech news this week. So, this week on Wednesday, Apple had a little announcement, and a few interesting things came out of this. First one being an 11.6-inch MacBook Air and updated 13-inch MacBook Air, and a significant drop in price on those. Same price as the entry-level MacBook. So, this is Apple's kind of expensive netbook, because the processor in it is only 1.4 gigahertz. So you really got to ask yourself if you need that much portability compared for the massively slow processor in it. So, MacBook Air, anyone?
This looks very cool, I must say. I mean, for Apple, it is a decent price for a Mac. For a Mac, anything. And decent specs, and it does look like a very flash laptop, I will say. But It is still too expensive for me personally, even though it is quite a lot cheaper than some of the other things, and cheaper than I would have expected it to be.
Are you saying it's too much because it for what it is, or just in general?
I'm not sure what I'm saying, really. It's probably both.
Okay, yeah, because the base one is 64 gigabytes only of flash storage.
That's not bad.
It's not a lot. Yeah, but I think I could get by with that if it was just being like an internet computer, you know? Nothing too intensive.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, so, my Linux partition is 20 gigs, so...
Oh, okay. I don't feel so bad about my 80 gigabyte OS X partition then.
Windows is 100 gigs, and I've used 80 of that.
Yeah. That's a different story, though. But on the 13-inch one, you get 128 gigabytes, and on the upper-end 13-inch one, you get 256 gigabytes. And these all have the 320M graphics card in it, so a decent graphics card with that.
Yeah, especially for a little netbook thing.
Yeah, so, I don't know, there's definitely going to be a market for it, I think, but if you need power, you're probably going to go with a white MacBook or a 13-inch MacBook Pro. Anyways, and other things, the Mac App Store will be coming within 90 days. Basically, they're not going, all the conspiracy theorists out there were saying that this would spell the end to applications you could just download and use on the internet, but no, that's not going to be what's happening. It's just going to be basically an alternative way for people to sell applications easily, so don't worry. FaceTime beta, which is that video conferencing thing that the iPhones and iPods use, is now a beta on OS X. Just jump in. If you guys have any comments on this?
No one really cares about FaceTime.
iLife 11?
Nope. Well, I don't know. You tell. Is that any good?
Well, the only one I really use in that is iMovie. So I like keeping track of where iMovie's going, because it's much, much better than Windows Movie Maker is, even the new Windows Live Movie Maker. So it definitely wins hands down in that. So.
Yeah, that's true.
But the main announcement was macOS 10.7 Lion.
Lion seems which is a very basically, boring name compared to the other things.
Well,
thought I'd put that out there. It's about time they had a lion.
It's a big cat, and a lion is a big cat and a powerful cat. They're probably trying to make a statement with it, you know? Wouldn't you save lion for last if you were going to go through big cats?
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it is a significant operating system yet.
Well,
I mean, they're introducing some good things, but it doesn't seem like there are any major changes.
Well, yeah, that's what we saw with Leopard initially, just the different dock and stacks, but there turned out to be other things as well, and I'm assuming as we get closer to summer 2011, we will see those things come in, those little different things that are different from Snow Leopard. So, but the main thing of this one is to make it more multi-touch usable, like the iPad and iPods are. So,
yeah,
that definitely should be interesting. I know Chief and I were talking about this. Yes?
What? Huh? I didn't have anything to say.
Oh, I thought you had something to say. Okay.
No.
Yeah, you remember, Chief, you remember you and I were talking about this, how in the little presentation it was said that touchscreens, when they're standing up in front of you like a computer monitor, don't work. But that's why the iPad works so well, is because it's in front of you on your lap. So this is one thing that was kind of said here, is that the touch is going to stay with the Magic Mouse and the Magic Trackpad. So I'm assuming to get that kind of benefit, you're going to need one of those for 10.7.
Which so I assume it's probably mostly under the hood changes, and it will.
Yeah, that would be what I'm assuming as well
for things in future. So it is probably a very good update, but we won't be able to see most of the changes.
Yeah,
or my speculation.
We won't
anyway,
see any changes until January, probably. You know, because they don't typically, the way they do things is they just show a few of the features, none that are too revolutionary. Because they don't want Microsoft to copy them for Windows 8. That's why they delayed showing things in Leopard, because they didn't want them copied for Windows 7. So
sneaky.
Anyways, there's another store coming. A Microsoft store for Windows PC games.
Oh.
So in your web browser. Yeah, so this is going to be competing with Steam primarily, because as you know, Steam is probably right now the biggest game store you can get on your computer, digital downloads and whatnot. So now this will be coming on the 15th of November. And
does it provide the same kind of functionality?
I don't think it will provide the networking functionality between people, but they could do that and make it tied into the Xbox network, you know. But there's nothing saying that that's going to happen. So it's going to start with 100 games only, which is a really, really small amount compared to Steam. So two examples to give of publishers are Rockstar and 2K Games. So, and it'll use your Windows Live ID, paying through Microsoft points or a credit card. Launch titles will include Age of Empires Online, Dead Rising 2, Deus Ex Game of the Year Edition, Fable the Lost Chapters, Fable 3, Flight Simulator, Gears of War, Grand Theft Auto 3, Halo,
3.
Lego Universe, Lost Planet 2, Max Payne, Microsoft Flight, Zoo Tycoon, and others. Yeah, I know. Grand Theft Auto 3? Aren't we at 4 now?
Yep. Yeah. I count
4.
Yeah. I count 4
was on the
this.
Xbox and stuff.
Sorry, I can't actually see this taking off.
It's on the PC
much.
Too. No, you know, once again, it's a typical Microsoft thing. Too little, too late. Just like Windows Phone 7.
It's
which you guys actually got in New Zealand before
really?
Anyone else. You guys were first. Yes.
Oh.
Have you heard anything about that?
No, nothing at all. I haven't seen any. But then I haven't been to any shops or anything.
Alrighty, so it'll be interesting to see, but you know, I'm just not sure about it. Anyways.
Yeah, I think that
so
Steam
I was,
is so big. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and even on it's on OS X now, which is also saying something, so.
Yeah.
A good thing. Anyways, this last piece of tech news isn't really news, it's kind of just a little discovery I made. I was browsing a gaming hashtag on Twitter, and I saw this link to something called The Jungle. So I clicked on it, and it turns out that this thing called The Jungle is a little handheld gaming device. And if you go to the featured games category, you see a game we all play. RuneScape. Stellar Dawn is also listed. RuneScape, Stellar Dawn, and Battlestar Galactica are featured games on this Jungle thing. There's really not much on the site about it, but if you do some poking around, it is from Panasonic. So I'm guessing this is going to be marketed as a kind of MMO, kind of portable game player. So
yeah,
I don't know. What do you guys think?
It's very interesting, though, because considering its low profile, there's almost nothing on the internet about it, apart from that website, which is quite nice, but it's a nice website, but it's very minimalistic. It doesn't give you a lot of detail. The Wikipedia page is not very informative, just the basic.
Yeah, and it doesn't say what operating system it's running, so... But there's no release date as well, so... And most of the wiki stuff is from October.
Yeah, and Panasonic as well, actually. Panasonic is a funny... I mean, I wouldn't have expected something from them. Especially...
No.
I mean, they're not really a software company. I wouldn't have thought they'd be able to develop stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they're... But it doesn't have... Like, it has two little dial things. So I'm guessing that's how you're going to control a mouse and keyboard, but... I don't know, this could be RuneScape's first adventure into little portable gaming, I guess, for RuneScape. I don't know, should be interesting to see, but would you guys play RuneScape on something like that or no?
No, not me.
Oh.
And yeah, it's nice having a big screen, isn't it?
Yeah, because... Like I said earlier when we were talking about this before, is I like to not necessarily, I guess multitask would be like, you know, look up stuff on the Grand Exchange or, you know, read the forums and stuff like that. Like, you couldn't do that if you just had that handheld thing. You would just have to, you know, be concentrating solely on RuneScape. You couldn't interface with anything else.
Who wants to concentrate solely on RuneScape? That's a bit.
Oh, there are some people like that.
Yeah. Well, if only that were the case, actually.
Yeah. So this is definitely going to be something to watch, seeing as we haven't heard anything yet from Jagex on this. It'd be interesting to see what their take is and what they're going to tell us about it and what kind of exact partnership it is. So anyways, that'll be that, I think. We're done for tech news. We're going to move on to some other things.
Yay.
First up, achievements of the week. We only have three this week, and they all took place on October 17th. Yes, Chief, I know you're kind of scared there, because I didn't tell you to put them together, but I got them.
Oh, no, actually, I wasn't scared. I just completely forgot, and I wasn't paying attention right then, so I didn't hear it either. It's fine.
All right. We got three level 99s this week. First one being new hero at 99 defense on October 17th. Congratulations with that.
Yay!
Yay.
So that means you now have six 99s.
It's a bit half-hearted.
Well, no. Next up is Scalp, who got 99 construction on the 17th as well.
Yay!
Yay!
Congratulations.
There was much rejoicing.
That's bad.
And a 99 summoning on the 17th as well from Torn 40 Ounce, who has all but three skills at level 99 now, so...
Oh,
I'd say he's going for a maxed account there. So congratulations to you all. And we look forward to reading more achievements next week. And in order to do that, you need to be on the RSBNB high scores. So make sure you read the FAQ about how to get on one of those. Basically, in short, you need to be a member for a month, posted at least once in a forum with post count in the last month, and you must have logged in or visited the forums in the past week. Okay.
Huh?
So a skill of the month update now. Does anybody have the tab open?
That I do, because I'm amazing at that.
Okay,
I didn't fully type it out this time. So, we're still in October, obviously, so we're still doing crafting. Not much has actually happened. X-Blade's got a bit more XP, and so X-Blade's is now well out in front. Almost double the XP of Reventon, who is coming second. So X-Blades has 3 mil, Reventon has 1.6 mil. Brian B is in third place very closely with 1.5 mil. So it's anyone's game, more or less. Otherwise, nothing's really changed.
Yeah, so... And there's still people who haven't got XP, so if you're listening to this and you signed up for the skill of the month, please get experience. There's no reason not to. Just some XP, like use a lamp on it from a genie that will make us all happy.
Even I got XP, and I'm not even...
Yeah, this skill of the month was interesting because there are so many lead changes all the way up into last week, so... There still could be another one. We'll just have to wait and see on that. So,
yep.
And the next skill of the month will be announced, I believe, on early Monday, the 25th.
Giddy. So.
Yay.
Anybody have any guesses what we're going to see for November? Second last skill of the month of 2010?
Wow, that's scary to think about.
Let's see. No, I don't want that page. I think that we'll see. Maybe fletching.
How about farming?
Yeah, I think fletching might come up.
Could do.
I don't know. Chief, what's your guess?
I don't have a guess. Have we seen mining recently?
No, but I was just going to say that, actually, as my guess. So I'm going to go with mining.
Yep.
Yeah, last mining skill of the month was July 2008.
Really? Oh, okay. Mining it is.
Yeah. Alrighty. Now, you guys will remember that last week and the week before, we extended the Informer applications for the RS Writer and Gaming Writer. So this week we're going to announce the results of that competition. Unfortunately, we did not hire anybody for the gaming position because there was not enough competition in there and there were no suitable applicants found for that. So if you're interested in gaming, my advice to you is to send in a guest article and write about a game. If you're interested in writing past the application period there, so send in a guest article for November, December for that. But anyways, now on to the RS Writer position. Kula was supposed to be here, but he had to back out at the last minute. So I'm going to announce this.
Dueling.
Our RS Writer position is going to Asa, who sent in an audio question earlier in this episode. So I will be getting contact with you tomorrow or later in the weekend to finalize this position. And we also had to give a little bit of a mention, in fact, also include this other application here and give this person a position as well. So, Schwa, welcome back to the Informer.
Gee,
that
thanks.
Was
thanks
so
for getting
drawn
me
out. Catch
up. Oh, wow. All right. I didn't even think that I wasn't even expecting that. Sweet. All right. I guess it's time to actually get back to work.
Congratulations, Swan.
That's why I brought you on the show this week.
So it's like Jerry Springer then.
No.
They just bring people on the show and then just like hit them with these huge life changing surprises. It's like, and it turns out you're adopted. Here are your real parents. Then like they bring them on the show and then everyone gets mad and starts fighting and it's the daytime TV show around here. Anyone in America listening will know exactly.
Oh, okay. I'm
well, you're not going to get mad, are you?
What? No. I'm not mad at all.
Okay.
Well, I actually never wanted to visit the show at all.
So, Schwa and Asa, those are our two new RS writers. Congratulations, both of you, Schwa. Asa, hopefully you're listening. If not, you'll hear from me eventually. If you're still interested in writing about games, send in a guest article, and that's probably the best way to do it, but there's no guarantees. Basically, sending in guest articles lets us gives us a chance to know you and get to know your writing style, and then forever wanting to hire another gaming person, gaming writer. I'm looking for a word. Permanently. There we go. You can apply, and then that will just help your chances, being that you've been a guest writer before. So, yeah. Yeah, did you like how we sprung that on you, Schwa?
Yeah, I thought that was really very, very clever of you guys. Yeah, I wasn't expecting it at all. I was like, oh, well, they probably wouldn't have... I'm probably not going to get it if they invited me on the show, because I was like, Shane's better at floor planning than that, than would be like, you know, be like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. You got the position. Surprise. So, but I actually thought that it was just going to be Asa, and I kind of sat here a little bit sad.
Yeah, see, I was laughing. Laughing as Shane was doing it, because he announced Asa first, and I was like, oh, that's just cruel. Why would you drag it out like that? Anyway.
Anyways, pick of the week. Schwa, do you have one?
Yes, I do. And talked about it earlier in the questions, but my pick this week is Minecraft. You know, I wouldn't say rush out and buy it without looking it up, but there's a plethora of videos on YouTube. And, you know, if you like Legos, probably will like Minecraft. It's still in alpha right now, and it's $15 from the website. I think it's like €9.99, and it's about to go into beta, I think, in the next couple weeks, in a month, not for sure, but that's what it seems like. And then they're going to raise it to I think $20 to $30. I'm not sure what it is. And if you get the alpha, you get upgrade to beta for free.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah,
if you're looking for a time to jump into Minecraft, what was that, Shane?
How do you get a game like this that's relatively low detail and sell it for $20 to $30? I don't get that.
I think it's just the sandbox aspect of it, that there's so much that you can do. It's kind of like it's the same kind of draw that Grand Theft Auto has, really, that you can really just do whatever you want, and you know. We'll make Grand Theft Auto a bad example. I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe. It's just the freedom aspect of it, and you get to have your own artistic... just you can be as artistic with it as you want. If you want to build a castle, you can build a castle. If you want to build a boat, you build a boat. If you want to, you know, dig a really, really deep mine and, like, look at, like, lava and stuff like that, and you can, like, craft things like that. Like, some people build minecart roller coasters, and people bring working processors and calculators, like stuff you wouldn't even imagine in like just a simple game like that people have done. There's just a lot of variation to what you can do, and so I think it's really cool in that aspect. It runs on Mac, it runs on Windows, because my roommate actually has a Mac, and I saw him playing it, so I think, obviously, you can get it on there. And let's see if I can... I think the site is called Minecraft.net, where you can get it. Let me look it up, because I don't
know. Oh, yeah, they got a video of one of the roller coasters on here, but, yeah, it's just graphically not pleasing to me, and, you know, I don't know. I'd rather do something else than play in a sandbox like this. So,
I don't know. It's always just been my style of game, so I'm right up there with it. But yeah, the site's Minecraft.net, and they have all the stuff where you can purchase it, look at it, look at the development, and stuff like that.
Oh my god. Minecraft Classic.
What?
And you can play it online.
Yeah,
I'm playing it right now.
Oh.
My god, this is so cool. It's weird.
Are you gonna buy it now?
No.
Uh oh.
This is
my Safari just beach balled trying to load it.
It played really.
There we go.
Reminds me of Doom. Just basically based on the graphics.
I remember Doom. Wasn't that the one where you couldn't aim up or down? You could only
Probably. I don't know.
Yes.
It was a long time ago.
Just have to aim straight at them, but like at a wall, and they would kill them from above you.
See, I was wondering why there was my sound echoing, and I realized it wasn't me.
Oh dear, I just fell through the floor. So apparently, I am digging to China right now. And I'm not sure how to get back up.
Well, if you dig yourself, that's interesting. You have to dig yourself stairs.
Oh,
because you can only jump 1 meter high, which is still pretty.
Oh,
pretty
I see.
Impressive.
Well, not yeah, impressive, and the lava it's... doesn't kill you.
Oh, it kills you. It sets you on fire.
Oh,
so you have to go like put yourself out. And it's a lot like RuneScape, like it has an inventory and stuff, so if you die with like all the stuff in your inventory, you have to go back to find your body and pick up all your stuff again. Which my friend actually dug through the bottom of like the actual world they generate. If you get down deep enough, you can like fall back into the sky. And so he lost like everything because he couldn't go get back and get his body.
I just fell underwater, but that's...
Oof. Okay.
Yeah, they play like some music in there. But yeah,
how do I quit?
I just
there we go.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's Minecraft. Nice little diversion there, Java based.
Yeah, and the file's really really small. I think it was like
Yeah, loaded really
like
quick.
Loaded fast.
The file you download, like the client version, I think it is only like a few megabytes. Like I think it was like 77 megs or something like that. But like the worlds on them, they say that like the generated worlds can be up to like 3 times the size of the Earth. So you can just pretty much keep walking for pretty much a very very long time. So, for such a small file, it has such a really big game, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That means it's relatively well thought out from a development standpoint. So, once again, Java at work. For people who say Java's bad, look at Minecraft. Look at RuneScape. So, now, Schwa, what have you been doing this week?
Gosh, this week... let's see. I worked a whole lot at my job where I work at a movie theater's projectionist. Our head guy went on vacation, so I had to work most of his shifts, and we had a projector pretty much explode last Thursday night, and I had to fix it, which going into it, I knew
did
absolutely...
Did anybody get hurt when it exploded?
No, because I thought that it just was like a light bulb going out, like the light bulb that powers it. So I was like, oh, this will take like 5 minutes. And then I realized that like the entire positive, or actually it was the negative side of the bulb, like the grounding wire and like the mounting thing and all that stuff had like overheated and exploded in the back, and we didn't have the parts to replace it. So I had to pull apart another projector and take the parts out of that one, so we weren't able to run film in a different one. Luckily, we have some digital projectors in that theater, but yeah, I've just been working and going to school a whole lot. Haven't been really doing too many extreme activities. What about you guys?
That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
I haven't been doing too much either, really, this week. I can't think of anything. No, yeah, really nothing. Just been busy.
Nothing interesting?
Not from what I can remember. No.
Okay.
What about you?
No interesting things? No RuneScape?
No. No. Not at all. Okay. Yeah, I just logged in before because to check the updates, and I hadn't logged in 7 days.
Yeah. You know, I'm in kind of a similar position there. I ended up this week, I just did a few farming runs, not much else. I don't know why. I meant to start something. I forget what I was going to start, though. and I just checked out the sound. So yeah, that's really about it. Yeah, that's pretty much my RuneScape week. Aside from that, this week I basically uprooted the entire network infrastructure in the house here, and it is a little bit different than before. And I'm assuming that's what you were referring to, Chief, earlier with in regards to a complex networking setup.
I suppose so. I didn't really mean anything by that, but
what kind of setup did you go to?
Well, initially, well, see, I moved my desk, so I needed a switch. So what I ended up doing was I took a old laptop, installed the thing called IPCOP on it, which is basically a router that runs on Linux. So you take two network interfaces, plug one in to your cable modem, the other into a switch, and then IPCOP does DHCP traffic logging and all sorts of things like that. So, and then I ended up running a wire to where I am now, because before, when I was on using a wireless bridge, I was only getting a bad internet speed of 2 megabits per second when I'm accustomed to speeds of 20 megabits per second. So, that was pretty much my week there. And aside from that, I got OS X working on my desktop again. And RuneScape runs very nicely.
Oh my god! So, I found a dungeon in Minecraft. Whoa!
Oh. I have a feeling Chief will be buying Minecraft then.
No, I'm not. I'm just getting very sidetracked here.
Okay.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done too. So, Schwan, you done?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's okay, everything. Okay, then. I'll press escape to release the mouse.
Yeah, that is everything. Unless you want me to. No, I won't go into how I installed OS X. That's boring. So, with that being said, we will be back next week. So, see you next week, everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye.